In Politics, Westminster. Westminster. By Jenny Sims. Unsurprisingly, the assisted dying bill was derailed by parliamentary procedures. As predicted in our last column, it ran out of time and did not complete all stages in the House of Lords by the 24th of April deadline. Despite the terminally ill adults, end of life, bill in England and Wales succeeding in the Commons, more than 1,200 amendments tabled in the Lords, which prevented final approval within the parliamentary session. And because it was a private member's bill, it could not be carried over into the next session. Introduced by Kim Leadbeater MP, it aimed to allow terminally ill adults with 6 months or less to live to access assistance to end their lives, subject to safeguards. Opponents argued the bill lacked sufficient safety checks and was rushed, while supporters claimed the extraordinary number of amendments was a deliberate delay tactic. Supporters say they may bring back a similar bill. In the final session, several debates and bills touched on issues affecting older people. But King Charles, in his speech before the parliamentary session ended, made no direct reference to issues directly relevant to older people's lives, except pensions. He said, "To provide greater security for those in retirement, measures were passed to consolidate pension funds so that people should receive better outcomes from their pension savings." Also reported in our last issue, WASPI, Women Against State Pension Inequality, women warned they were not going away after the government failed to comply with the Ombudsman's recommendation for compensation. And, true to promise, supportive MPs continued to call for answers and government action up to the end of the session. At a session on the 27th of April on state pension age changes, for instance, MPs criticised the government for previously promising support for the affected women but later refusing compensation. But they got little satisfaction from Pensions Minister Torsten Bell. While acknowledging Labour had previously opposed the 2011 pension age acceleration, he said, "Our manifesto was clear that it did not make a commitment to bring forward compensation." During the same session, the minister restated the government's commitment to keeping the triple lock, which guarantees annual pension increases by the highest of inflation, wage growth, or 2.5%. Some policymakers and think tanks argue the triple lock is becoming financially unsustainable due to an aging population and rising pension costs. Bell said, "We are increasing the state pension, and we will be continuing to do that over the course of this parliament via the triple lock, which is set to increase it by up to £2,100. Adult social care and healthcare pressures are still high on the government's agenda, as evidenced in both houses through questions, debates, and committee-related discussions. Recent examples include a 14th of April Commons session at which MPs discussed performance, funding and system pressures, including workforce and waiting list challenges. The government highlighted its increased investment and measures to reduce waiting lists, while acknowledging the ongoing strain on services. This system strain was also acknowledged in the Lords during a discussion on the Independent Commission on Adult Social Care. Peers described the system as fragile and expressed the need for integration and workforce reform, in effect, urging long-term structural pressure rather than short-term fixes. Baroness Merran, Minister for Adult Social Care, said in the Lords on the 9th of March, "We have three core foundations in place in our government objectives for adult social care, one of which is strengthening the join-up between health services and social care services, because people need to experience more integrated, person-centered care." It seems that both houses agree that better joined-up NHS and social care workforces are needed, and that people should experience more integrated, person-centered care. Article ends.